Off top, ant death spirals. If the lead ant gets lost on their pheromone track, sometimes the rest of the ants just make a big circle and spiral and spiral and spiral until they die. Play the music.
This is the Dominique Foxworth Show.
Welcome to the Dominique Foxworth Show. I love doing that. It's one of my favorite things, especially when we have a guest that does not listen to the Dominique Foxworth Show, which there aren't very many people who don't. But this guest, I know, doesn't, but I love him anyway. Nick Ferguson. He's a radio host in Denver, used to be a safety, and is a friend of mine. He's been regaling Charlie here with stories of my past, and we're not going to do that anymore.
Oh, yes,
I'm going to give
are.
You a compliment, and we're going to move on. Nick, how you look so young. Your skin's so beautiful. I love you. It's good to see you. Let's talk about football.
Well, you know, as they say, black don't crack. And when you don't smoke and you don't drink and you just kind of mystify your face, you're able to turn back time like Benjamin Button.
Nah, look at this black. This black is cracked all up. But I do not abide by the same disciplines as you, sir. So maybe that's part of the problem. I used to. Back when you used to know me, I ain't do none of the bad things. Then I got old. Sometimes they sneak into my life.
Well, what happened, man? You were this happy-go-lucky, very charismatic, cheerful person that loved to prank people all the time. Did that just somehow disappear?
Nick, do you have a good, fun Dominique story? Because now he's sort of like...
I'm not fun.
He's a curmudgeon. He's the most serious person.
Well, you know what? Dominic was very comical, as though I said. He loved pulling pranks. And that was kind of one of his things. And in our locker room right before practice, there was always dominoes or cards. But there was always this show that was on. It was a Maury Povich show. Oh. And we all couldn't wait until he read the card as far as saying, you're not the father. And Dominic would jump up and just scream it really loud before running out to practice. That was one of my fondest memories, but I want to take you back for just a second.
People, hold on. I'm not weird for that. You guys are weird if you do not celebrate. People's lives are riding on that. That man, she cheated on him, and he didn't know. And he didn't want to be a daddy to somebody who cheated on him and kids. Not the father. Yes, congratulate that man. Celebrate him. Good for him.
When it comes to little baby, you are not the father, right?
Let's go, Devontae. Let's celebrate. Then they take it to the back and do a dance. I used to love it, man. It was also really sad. I felt bad for the women. They would go to the back and start crying when it was not the father. Yeah. But, I mean, it was harder for me at that time in my life to identify with the women. It was slightly easier for me to identify with the men, even though I was a virgin until I met Ashley. What are you laughing at? What's so funny, G? We both was celibate back then. We would go read our Bible and go to bed.
Well, I don't know about reading our Bible, but I mean, once again, we were practicing things in accordance to what was presented to us at the time. If it was just one woman that you were dating, so be it. But for me in my time, and I don't think you ever knew this, I was happened to be dating two people at the same time. And one of those individuals is my wife, and she's been my wife for 17 years. And I did something that most men don't do. They tell the women
yes.
that they're dating them so I can completely wipe out my car being keyed, my tires being flat, or being confronted in a public place. So telling the truth was
this
definitely
man
part
running,
of what
running his own episode of The Bachelor out there. Like, I want
this.
You to know, you got comp out there, baby girl. Who trying to win?
This is breaking the rule. If you have two quarterbacks, you got no quarterbacks. You got a quarterback out of this.
Absolutely. And my quarterback has been starting for me for 17 years, yeah. So I'm good.
Yeah, good for you, man. Also, I'll teach you a little something. Even though you're older than me and you taught me a lot and took me under your wing and protected me when I was out in Denver, I will tell you this. Nothing wrong with keeping some things to yourself. You ain't had to tell them. You could have kept it to yourself. You also don't have to say it right now here. So, yeah, I was, while Nick was out there dating two women, I was reading the Bible.
Hmm. Oh wow. Is that what we are proclaiming?
No,
now?
I wasn't. I was reading the playbook because I had to be on top of my game because somebody had to teach Champ what the hell he was doing. But Bailey.
Well, speaking of Champ, here's a quick story for you. Champ used to fall asleep all the time in our meetings. And
hold on. Can I correct your terminology? Fall asleep sound like it was a mistake. Champ used to take naps. Anyway, go ahead. He used to take naps every now and then.
So whether he's falling asleep or he's taking a nap, Champ would always sit in that front row, and you can always tell based on how his body would slouch down. So I remember both you and Hamza coming into the room thinking, okay, well, this was going to be the day that Champ was going to get caught. So Coach Slow is going through the film, and as we're going through the film, he asked Champ a question. And I'm sitting in the back next to John like, oh, yeah, he's got Champ dead to rights. Champ woke up out of his slumber, answered the question, answered it correctly, and went back to sleep. And then I said, you know what, man? This isn't right, man. Life isn't fair. Fair.
You can't have all of it. Yeah, that's Bob Slowick. That's Bobby Slowick's daddy, right?
Yes. Yeah, sure is.
But anyway, shout out to Coach Slow, all the Slows, good, fine people. Yeah, Champ was really good at football and also apparently had
sleeping.
Ear. Yeah, he's a better sleeper than us, too.
Yes, he was. Fair. Absolutely.
All right, you got any other ways you want to embarrass me? No, you're good? You still out in Denver. I miss Denver. I got to get out there, man, get some more of that Del Frisco's lemon cake. You were a good person. You didn't run up the bill on me for that rookie dinner. But I do remember we had 3 rookie corners drafted that year, and we were all supposed to split the bill. And me and Darren split the bill, and Carl Paber refused to pay. And some people on the team made his life very difficult for the next couple weeks. So just go ahead and pay them a couple thousand. Wasn't a couple.
Well, I'll say this about what happened to Carl. Carl didn't want to conform to what the rookie rules were at the time. And I do remember Carl Paymer drove a Range Rover at one point. And Al Wilson drove his Range Rover, put it on a hill, opened the doors, and left the car running. So after practice, his car battery was dead, and he couldn't find his car.
I remember they also took his keys one time, too, and they sent this man on a scavenger hunt where he had to go. They put a note where his keys were, and then he had to go a bunch of different places, and eventually they put it in a bag at the bottom of the ice pool, and he went down to get the bag at the ice pool, and somebody had put the keys back in his locker.
Yes.
So then the bag of the ice pool said the keys are back in your locker.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Story time. All right. Let's talk about young people who are still good at football, not old people who are no longer. One more thing. John Lynch, I forgive you for taking Nick Ferguson's Pro Bowl spot that one year. I forgive you. All right. Go ahead. It's been a long time. I finally. It wasn't his fault. It wasn't his fault, but it happened.
No. This is a thing, though, because. When we ran into Nick at Radio Row at the Super Bowl, that was the first thing you brought up. Your condolences for that Pro Bowl spot.
I remember that season. It was my rookie season also, and I like surprised people and was having a good season, and people were like, hey, good, bro, this is awesome. And Nick wasn't a rookie, but he had a kind of a long journey to become a starting safety, and he was balling. I think he ended up with 5 or 6 picks that year, and was like 6 picks that year, and was a better, more productive safety on our team at that time. But you guys know how the Pro Bowl kind of works.
Yeah.
And so, like, I was just hurt for my man because I was like, it took him a long time to get this spot. Mm-hmm. And he gave him, and it's interceptions, while they are based some on skill, they're also based some on luck. So you could be the best safety in football and have 1 pick or no picks. But Nick was playing as good as any safety in football that year and also had 6 picks. And they're going to send 2 people from our secondary because our defense was pretty good that year. Champ had to go because that had 8 picks, and I'll have you know that he had 8 picks on like 50 targets or something stupid, because I was the corner on the other side. They was throwing at my they was not throwing at him. Every time they threw it at Champ, he caught it. So I was like, all right, obviously Champ's going to the Pro Bowl. And then I just really want, and John had been to a few, I really want my man Nico to get in there. He ain't getting in there. That's all right. I'm sure he's fine. I'm not over it. I never had a Pro Bowl caliber season, and if I had one, I'd be pissed if I didn't get in.
Well, you know what? Listen, man, thanks for saying that. Not too many people actually bring that up. But, I was pissed at the time, and I'm still a little ticked off, because things would be a lot better for me, I feel, if I had that title associated with it. But if it helps at all, I mean, after we walked out of the meeting, you know, John did apologize to me for me not going and saying that
it's
it should
have
been. He said he told Mike, he said, you know what? It should have been Nick instead of me. I mean, it was cool to hear him say it, but I would have loved to go to Pro Bowl and experience that for myself.
I ran into John at the before the game when the 49ers played here in Washington, and I walked up to him and I said, you know what? That 05 season was BS.
No, you did not.
You should have been defensive player of the year, John Lynch, sir. Good luck. Have a good game.
See, you, this is what I'm used to. Yeah. Not that serious Dominic Foxworth.
You're not around
all the time
anymore. I gotta hang out with guys who aren't fun and cool. So then it sucks.
I've never pretended to be cool. Huh? Never pretended.
I'm not talking about you, Snack. Relax. Don't get defensive. Don't get defensive, Snack. What are we talking about, man?
We'll talk about someone who we can talk about some football with someone who is definitely not cool. We're gonna start in Denver because I mean a lot has come from Russell Wilson in his interview earlier this week. And one thing I think is pretty clear is that he's not going to be the quarterback for the Denver Broncos next year. But there is an interesting question because he's going to get less money because he's got a ton of guaranteed money coming to him. Do you still think Russell Wilson is a viable starter in this league?
Yes, he is. Just kind of look at what he did last year, 28 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. And the one thing I always tell people here in Denver who say that Russell can't play anymore, I said, you go back to Sean Payton's first year with Drew Brees. I think that might have been it. 2008, and Drew had comparable numbers to Russell, and Drew played the entire season. Russ missed the last two games, so Russ could have ended the season with 32 touchdowns and 6 interceptions. And once again, for me, guys, what I look at is who's calling the plays. Are you setting your quarterback up to be successful? And a lot of that I did not see from Sean Payton and his offense, and that's not me throwing shade at Sean, but when you know what you know as a guy who played in the league and coached in the league, you say, okay, well, what's the best way to get a Jerry Jeudy open, a Marvin Mims Jr. open? And to me, once again, those are things that you do to help out your quarterback, and I didn't really see it. But there's some opportunities out there for Russ. I mean, could it be New England? Could it be the Falcons? Could it be the Steelers? The only thing I say at the end of the day, you have to be willing and committed to your quarterback, no matter who your quarterback is, because if you're not patient and you don't surround him with talent, it's going to be really difficult for that quarterback to succeed.
See, what happened when you asked the question, he turned into radio mode and just gave a whole answer and then went on to ask himself more questions. It was a lot more fun when I was asking the questions.
Go ahead.
All right, I will. You tweeted that you want Drew Lock back. Stop yes. playing. Stop it.
Well, the reason I said that, because looking at Drew's improvement after he left Denver and the idea that if you were to bring him here, and you use him in Sean Payton's offense, and Sean wants that Drew Brees type of guy, and that's what Drew Lock is essentially. So I felt as though Drew Lock got a bad rep when he was here, and Rich Gangarola was taking over, and Rich didn't really have a lot of leeway because they had him on a short leash because they didn't really want him, and they just took him because they wanted a part of Kyle Shanahan's offense. So you can't get Kyle, so you get Rich Gangarola, but there's still some value with a guy like Drew Lock, who I think would excel in the offense with Sean Payton running it.
Okay. I would like to put on record. Stop it. All right. What's next, Charlie?
You had no take on Russ? No, you're the foremost Russell Wilson defender.
That's why I don't know. I don't think that I could add anything to the Russ conversation. I think Nick's right. He can play well somewhere else. Is he going to be great again? No. Those days are behind him in a better situation. And the real kicker for the Russ situation to me is – because of how poorly the Broncos have handled all of this, from trading for him to signing him to a long contract to then somewhat kind of seemingly sabotaging his last season and trying to force him to give up his injury guarantee. By doing all that, they've made him even more attractive because they're going to push him away with a bunch of guaranteed money still on his contract. And the only money that anyone have to pay him will be offset against what the Broncos are paying him. So you will have to pay him league minimum for his years in the league. Otherwise, anything else would be a favor to the Broncos. So the next team that he goes to is going to be paying him less than you pay rookie quarterbacks. And he's a veteran quarterback who has won a Super Bowl. And while he wasn't as great as he was in the past, and he still, I think, people would say he's not always as comfortable in structure. He seemed to operate pretty good in the Sean Payton structure offense. It seems like a good pickup. Like, he's much more attractive to me now because he don't cost nothing.
You don't think some of those numbers are fake, though, with him?
What do you mean?
What do you mean? Yes. Explain
think I get what you're saying. That's the season last year.
Yeah.
I don't think he was, the reason for their success, and I get all that. But it's kind of like, when you look at the league, the value of quarterbacks and how many good quarterbacks there are, do you think he's mediocre?
I think he's become like he's aged into a game manager. And I think the TD rate was obviously like slightly fluky. And when they were winning, when they went on their crazy winning streak, they had like insane turnover luck and things like that, which changed the shape of the season a lot.
And I don't disagree with that. I'm stepping back from that season as a whole and explaining his numbers specifically and saying, for what you are going to have to pay for him, is he average or above average? Then that is a steal.
So that's the question, though. Do you think he could end up in a good situation because of this? Because if he's a steal, like, we see a lot of game managers get paid a ton of money, and it actually hurts the teams long term because you're overpaying for someone that's league average.
Well, you know what? I'm going to push back just a little.
Fake numbers.
Because, listen, on the whole idea of fake numbers, like Courtland Sutton ended the season with 10 touchdowns. It hasn't been a Broncos wide receiver to do that since 2019. And when you look at some of the plays that Russell was able to make on those touchdown, you know, plays, he did those scrambling off schedule. I mean, those were things that Sean Payton did not design. That was Russell being Russ. Go back and watch each one of those touchdowns. I go back to the Buffalo game. I think it was the Thursday night game. He scrambles out. Garrett Bowles gets beat on the left side. He does this kind of pirouette, finds Courtland Sutton on the sideline. He's able to keep his toes in. That wasn't a design play by Sean Payton. And you mentioned, well, when the Broncos went on their run, I mean, their defense was sensational. The last time I checked, the game is based on three phases. Mm-hmm. Right? Offense, defense,
he hit you with
the
last
teams.
Time I checked. Charlie.
So when we look at any quarterback, no quarterback in the history of the game has ever won the game by themselves.
Not
they
one.
Needed a run game. They needed a defense that turned the ball over at high volume of rate. And then they needed a competent quarterback. That's exactly what we saw from Russell with 28 touchdowns and six interceptions. So let's not dismiss those numbers as just being, oh, well, those are something that we just pulled out of the air and just said, well, yeah, we're just going to give it to him because he's Russell Wilson. No. Every single touchdown he threw last year, he earned that. And once again, it wasn't because Sean Payton designed it. He made plays off schedule. But Sean Payton said, well, I don't want that quarterback. Well, guess what? Half of the league has quarterbacks who have that same skill. So we'll see what happens when you face Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert. We'll see what happens.
Oof. Well, that's the thing I think is interesting, though, because there's an actual chasm between the advanced stats and the raw numbers. Like, he's 21st in QBR last year, and those are...
Right. I don't think anybody... So the calling the wins fluky is one thing. Calling Russell's mediocre play fluky is another thing. And so, like, what I think
It's not the mediocre play. It's just, like, the touchdown luck could be different, and he could have been 22 touchdowns, 6 or 7. Yeah.
I get it. The point I am making is you're comparing Russell to the contract that he's under or to the other quarterbacks at his skill level. That's not where he is anymore. Mm-hmm. So, like, I would agree with you. What Russell did last year is by no means an argument that the contract that he is producing on level of contract. I'm saying that now, if you view him through the contract that he is going to get when they release him, Russell is awesome for the value.
And that's interesting to me because he might end up in a good situation. Like, I might rather have him for a cheap contract than overpaying someone who I don't think I can.
Yeah, I mean,
if
I think the interesting thing is, like, well, you got Baker Mayfield, Kirk Cousins, Justin Fields, if you trade for him, and Russell. Like, in all of those guys, Baker is looking for his second contract, or I guess he's past second contract, but he's looking for money. Same thing with Justin Fields. He's coming up on actually his second contract. Kirk Cousins gonna break your wallet. He's showed that
legendary businessman. Legend.
And if you think about all of their talent, even if you would consider all of them better than Russell Wilson, they aren't enough better than him to when you compare. I think it's like 1.5 a year is what they're gonna pay Russell versus those guys who are gonna be looking for 30s and 40s. Give me Danger Russ.
That's the interesting thing because it's like this is a weird year. It's like Derek Carr had 25 touchdowns, 8 interceptions last year, and I don't think teams would be lining up for that. It's like the raw numbers are
these new breed of quarterbacks, man. They done made it real. They done made it real scary out there. Real scary out there. If you can't,
well listen, keep this in consideration. You bring up Kirk Cousins. What has Kirk Cousins really done in his league other than inflate the money that they pay him?
If you are a person
that loves fantasy football, you want Kirk Cousins on your roster. Why? The volume is going to be there because what has he done in Minnesota? He hasn't really done anything.
I'll have you know that Nick Ferguson would get you 6 interceptions and he would also
give you a Russ.
And he would also fit in the run attack as if he was a linebacker. I'll have you know. And he is also taking that dual threat to his radio personality, because the man just argued for Russ and then used the same argument on the other side against what we get Kirk from Cousins. Kirk Cousins. Because it's like, yeah, what does he get? He gives you the numbers. But he not going, I guess you would say Russ got a Super Bowl? Like, what's the difference between Russ and Kirk Cousins? Kirk Cousins has been better recently, actually.
Well, the reason Kirk Cousins has been better, let's be totally honest, and we can go back to the Commanders days, because the volume is going to be there as far as the rate of passing. And then you look at last year with Justin Jefferson. Once he came back, to me, now you had a prolific offense and you could dump the ball down. And then where do we see a lot of the volume coming from with Kirk Cousins? Throw the check down, let Dalvin Cook cook, and then that was going to be the recipe.
Who would you rather have?
Football games.
No money considerations, because I think I might go with Russ if you say it's the money.
Oh, yeah.
But if there's no money considerations, who you rather have? I'm put you on the spot. You're not going to embarrass me like you did, Charlie.
Well, I'm going to take Russ. And the reason I'm going to take Russ, because you're going to need guys who can manipulate the pocket.
Okay.
The way that we see the game
going Kurt off
right
the Achilles
now,
is not going to be able to do that?
I mean, fair point. First of all, before the Achilles, he wasn't that fast.
Yeah.
Now he's coming off the Achilles. He cannot move, right? So you need quarterbacks that can actually manipulate the pocket. Is Russ the same Russ he was 10 years ago? No. Dominic, you and I are not the same man we were yesterday. So let's kind of keep things in perspective. I want a guy who can actually manipulate the pocket and then threaten the defense both vertically and horizontally. Russ still can give you that. He still can give you that. Kirk could never give you that. And now he's coming off an Achilles. Imagine how fast he's going to be now.
I'll just have you know.
Think about it.
I got an emergency 4-3 in the tuck just in case. Just in case I got to break it. I got one last one.
Put it on
just
tape.
In case I got to break it out. I might lose an Achilles.
Tape.
No, I mean, I'm not doing it for free. I got one last paid 4-3 if I need it. So I am still who I was. All right, Charlie, what's next?
So I want to ask about the other side of the same coin, because
Sean EP.
Yeah, well, because like, look, I think there was a big media discussion. A lot of people agreed that Sean Payton was an last year. I think fair to say. But the bigger question I think is interesting. He's going to be in Denver for a while. Do you think the way that he handled Russell Wilson will actually materially hurt his perception around the league? Like, people won't want to play for him the same, like, stars won't want to sign there because of this. Do you think that Sean Payton's image has changed because of how he treated Russell Wilson?
No, because all you have to do, if you put a certain amount of money in front of a guy, he's going to say, Russell who? And once again, these guys don't know Russell, who the Broncos are going to seek out in free agency. So it's not really going to tarnish, you know, Sean Payton's reputation from that standpoint. Now, the guys who are in the locker room, who had to watch their playoff hopes go down the drain, those guys may have a different approach to it. But, I mean, if you are a guy and the Broncos come to you and say, hey, listen, man, we want to give you generational wealth, and that's not going to affect those guys. They don't give 2 cents, because we know cash rules everything around me, cream. Get the money, dollar bill, y'all.
Ah, we're old.
Yeah.
I love it.
By the way, the players gave Sean Payton an A- on the NFLPA report card.
Yeah, the NFLPA report card grades all the facilities or the players on each team with the graded facilities and accommodations and their coaches. And I was surprised to see. I guess I'm not surprised, but it was a little shocking to see Sean Payton got an A-. I don't know what that ranks amongst all the coaches, but Andy Reid, I know, was number one, right, mm-hmm. amongst the coaches. And Sean Payton seemed like he's pretty up there pretty high with the A-, but that's the point. Russell is not as affable as he seems. He's not always the most beloved guy.
His own office, different floor.
He seemed to be a little bit separated. So if there was a situation in football, but I don't think it often applies in football, where if you mistreat a guy, football players just don't have the power to be like, oh, we gonna not go play for him. There's only a couple guys who have the power to do that. But if there was a time when guys would stand up and stand together, it ain't going to be for Russ. No disrespect to Russ, but he seemed to be the dividing line in Seattle. And everyone likes the other guys on the other side of that.
Well, there's a reason why. I mean, I did a coaching internship in Seattle, so I have a different viewpoint from everyone else. Russ was a little different. I mean, you think about Russell's upbringing. And you think about the other guys in the locker room. You're talking about a guy who was in a household with maybe both parents, maybe middle class. Now you're dealing with other players defensively who are coming from a single parent home and they were not living above the poverty line. Here in Denver, someone told me, like, hey, man, Russell reminds me of Carlton from Fresh Prince. I said, why does he remind you of Carlton? It was because how he kind of carried himself. And I'm like, why do we look down on a guy because he comes from a middle-class family? He has morals. He has ethics. He doesn't hang out. He doesn't cheat on his wife. He does things entirely different. So people have formulated their opinion on Russ based upon that. I think he still is a solid dude. Does he seem to be a little unique? Yes, of course. We all are very unique in our own ways. And Russ has his way of going about things, especially in his press conferences. I mean, talk about standing up and being a brand. That's what he does.
I love you, Nico. But all that is foolishness. That ain't why people don't like Russ. They don't have a problem with Russ because he had two parents and because he don't cheat on his wife. There's plenty of people in our locker rooms. They don't like him because he's weird and he does weird things.
What is weird?
High knees on an international flight across the ocean. He doing high knees the whole time. He got an office upstairs with the coaches and he not down in the locker room with the guys. I don't care if you cheat on your wife or if your wife Sierra or if you got two parents or you got no parents. It does not matter to me if you out there acting weird and then you're giving weird quotes and you always talk about, Broncos country, let's ride. Like, he does it. Confusing weird things. And okay, I'm sorry, I like him. I'm rooting for him. It's fine.
You don't like him. It's okay.
I don't dislike him. I don't know him. But I just didn't like the way that Nick was framing it. Like, everybody else in the locker room is some sort of heathen savage. And it's like, oh my gosh, this guy. Oh, it's a decent man. I don't know how to be his friend. That's the part that I didn't like.
Well, you know, when we played together, there were some very unethical guys in the locker room. No need to bring them up, but we were not hanging out with those guys. Hanging out with those guys. But just because Russ had an office in the building, that doesn't make him a bad person. You would do it too if they let you get away with it.
Maybe.
That's not his fault.
No, maybe.
You would.
No, I don't think I would. I don't need an office. Office seems terrible. I get up out of there. I would be like Champ. If I was as good as Champ, I'd be napping. He went the other direction. But I wasn't that good. I think that what it boils down to is the winning stopped. people will put up with all types of foolishness if the winning is good. And he stopped playing well. So you can't get away with acting like you're above it all when you ain't playing like you're above it all. I think that's what it boils down to. And that's probably what happened in Seattle also, where they were not having as much success, but Russ was still acting like he was king of the world, and they got him up out of there. And then he came here, and he's not having much success, but he got an office, and he got his whole own staff, and that... I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I don't have a problem with any of that. But that's the part that was abnormal. All the other ain't abnormal.
And his TikToks.
Yeah, that's the part that was weird. And I think that works if you're winning.
I'm going to blame the league and their narrative by propping quarterbacks up on this pedestal. Yeah. Because let's be totally honest.
Let's blame them.
Quarterbacks are treated differently.
Yeah, they are.
Can we not admit that quarterbacks are treated entirely different? So because he played the quarterback position, he felt he has leverage in Seattle, here in Denver. He tried to utilize that. I'm not going to be mad at someone for utilizing the leverage. And guess what? Can he be weird, corny, whatever you want to call
it? No one said corny. You said corny. I don't have a problem with corny. He's weird, which is fine.
You're saying the same thing.
I'm not saying the same thing. I said he's weird.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Same thing. Yes, it is.
Throw more touchdowns. You be as weird as you want. We will start doing the weird things. That's what happens. That's how unusual things become cool. Because cool people who are successful do the weird thing. And we're like, hey, that weird is awesome because the cool person does it. Throw touchdowns, win Super Bowls. Your weird is cool.
So can I pivot to another maybe high-maintenance quarterback?
Oh, sure.
The Athletic wrote about Caleb Williams and his team. And when I say team, I mean Reed, probably his dad, Carl, and how they want full ownership over the draft process. We learned a lot about how much money he made from NIL, how Caleb didn't know about wanting team equity until he was asked about an interview, how his interviews are all supposed to be sponsored, and that's how his dad's setting it up. What do you think about how Caleb and his team are handling the pre-draft process?
I'm okay with it because no one was saying anything when Arch Manning and Eli Manning did the same thing. The Chargers wanted to draft Eli Manning. He was like, nope, I'm not going there. And then all of a sudden he was drafted by the Giants. So if no one's going to criticize Eli and the royal family of football, why are you going to say something similar about Caleb Williams and his dad? And obviously every father wants to make sure that their son is set up. And all you have to do is watch the Bears and how that organization has been run over the past couple of years. They draft quarterback after quarterback after quarterback, and there's not a lot of success. So why would you want your son to go there and be beat up and then criticized like Justin Fields has been thus far in the league?
I think Caleb's dad comes across in a way that makes people uncomfortable. But I think to Nick's point, I don't disagree with the positions that he's taking because, and I mean, I've made it quite clear that the draft in general is something that I don't like. And I hate it fundamentally because let's say you are born with some level of talent that makes you qualified or potentially qualified to make it to the NFL. You then spend the next, I don't know, 20 years of your life cultivating that very, very precious thing and making sacrifices and making decisions. And then eventually you have to entrust it to somebody else. And the fact that that's random, that bothers me. So I like the idea of people pushing to get power, but I do understand that the way that he's doing it.
I don't think it's, but I don't think it's just about like trading the pick because I think Archie Manning, Eli Manning is an interesting counterexample because you look at the stories around Archie Manning and someone whose career was ruined by being in a bad situation in the NFL, someone who people thought was a Hall of Fame talent and ended up in New Orleans when the team was essentially an expansion team for his entire career. And he didn't want that for Eli. That might not have been the right decision. San Diego might have ended up being a better franchise. And I don't even think it's just about Caleb not wanting to play for the Bears. He's since said he's watched Michael Jordan highlights and he's okay to play for the Bears. I think it's about the priority about everything being for a brand. And I get it. Players now are going to be more brand oriented than they've ever been. But that seems to have, in certain ways, skipped the quarterback position where your brand is winning. You think about even like guys who have come into the league now. Joe Burrow is someone who has like a very specific social media following brand, but his brand is like sort of being a winner, and it's weird to see Caleb's team not prioritize that in the same way.
So what I think is potentially what's happening is we're turning into, or at least Charlie is ahead of us, even though he's the youngest one in his conversation, is turning into a old man sports guy.
No, like I just think it's weird that Caleb is going to have to answer for his dad's decisions in certain ways.
So Caleb doesn't have to answer for Carl's decisions. Like, Caleb, at some point...
He literally did, about the equity and team stuff.
Well, it wasn't a decision. It was like... But I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
That stinks. And I understand what you're saying about him entering the league in a way where you're right. He does seem to be comfortable with us being aware of how focused he is on his brand in a way that other quarterbacks know better than to give us. Because saying like... Nico just pointed it out. Quarterbacks are different. Yeah. They're all selfish.
And he's the most different because he's been the best prospect in however many years.
They're all selfish, and they all are concerned about themselves. This one happens to be not wrapping it in this coat of, like, football gloss that we want, a super leader guy. And I think that's the part that is maybe indicative of what is to come. And that's why I called you a sports old guy. And maybe I'm getting to that point too, where things are going to start to change that we're going to be uncomfortable with. And this might be one of them, where the next guys who come into the league, the high profile guys, because like you see guys now who are in the league with high profile podcasts and they're active players in their third and fourth year. So it might be something that's happening now where guys are going through the professionalized youth ranks and they are thinking themselves as brands from the time they're 12. And when they get to the league, that's not going to be any different. And I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm just saying that it might just be coming.
Yeah. I think it's just weird that it's Caleb's dad, not him. Like, it's the helicopter. This feels like, like Nick, I like tennis. This feels like a tennis parent thing. Like, you see it because a lot of guys turn pro and they're like, men and women turn pro in their mid teens and their parents like travel with them. And it's like, helicopter parents moving to the NFL just seems so anti-football.
Well, things are different now because remember Cam Newton's father was definitely involved in his career. And yeah, you guys are giving me the get off my lawn type of thing. But I mean, players are younger. I mean, how many players, and Dominic, think about this. If you could take control of your career and have your parent right next to you guiding you, I mean, most athletes would definitely do that. Look at Kevin Durant and his mom being an emotional part of what he does in his career. So this is something that we're going to continue to see that happens, but it's only going to be the top 1% of players who are going to find themselves in the position because they're highly coveted where they can say, you know what, I want to write my own ticket. And you guys brought up something very interesting. The other thing that's going to change it is NILs, because guys are making an enormous amount of money. they're going to be able to dictate what they can do. Like Caleb could have decided, you know what? I'm making $10 million in college. I go back to USC for another year and then make another $30 million. I really don't need you, NFL. But guess what? You need me, Ryan Poles. You need me, Chicago Bears or the Washington Commanders. So if this is what I'm asking and my dad is asking some of the most, you know, trivial questions that you've never answered before with other parents, well, hey, get used to it.
This might be another chapter in the book that I'm not going to write about the professionalization of youth sports, but it does feel like, again, and to the NIL point to some degree, a lot of what we think about the NFL as, and Nick and I learned this the hard way, is the NFL is, I think when you start playing football at 8 or 10 or however old you are, you start playing football, that is like the purest team version of football. That's like the Disney movie Pollyanna version of football. And once you start to move up and you're good, it gets a little bit more professional and a little bit more professional until you get to the NFL where you up and get traded or you get cut or something. You're like, oh, this is a damn job. This is not a team. We don't actually love each other or care about each other the way that we think that we should. And I think that a lot of that persona the players bring from the college and they bring from high school. And by professionalizing sports younger and younger, like in college with the NIL stuff, you saw Caleb jump ship team to team with his coach. And I'm not complaining that it's a bad thing, but it's a good thing for them, the money. But it does make you more of an individual entity. Like you're a company already. And so for him to bring that with him into the NFL, it's kind of not surprising. It's going to make us uncomfortable, but like, I think that's where we're heading because they don't carry those, like, and we talk about basketball all the time. How many high schools have some of these high profile basketball players played in? They switch high schools a bunch of times. They switch AAU teams a bunch of times. And that's why we see the like individualism in basketball, I think, more prevalent than we do in football, but it's coming to football.
I don't think that's made the NBA a better league. And I also think it's not really about Caleb. I actually genuinely wonder if
Carl
and the team's focused on his brand has put him in a better, worse, or the same spot to you guys. Because I think a year ago, before this, he was probably in a better spot PR wise than he is now. Even though he's going to be the first pick in the draft, this is someone like he could have just given an interview to Chris Haynes or Tom Rinaldi or Jim Gray or someone and said whatever, like squashed all this stuff. He could have thrown at the like that dude is one of the 10 best arms in the world. Just go throw at the combine and this conversation's over.
Sorry, Nico. I'll be quick. I think he and his dad may understand what I think Nico and I understand.
Mm-hmm.
None of that matters if he balls.
Yes.
None of it matters. There, if he happens to be so, like, if he's the nicest guy around, he's the most teamy guy ever, and he stinks, he gonna get roasted.
Yeah.
If he is the best quarterback ever, but he's a jerk to everyone, they're gonna build a brand around him like they did Michael Jordan, and be like, oh, he just wanna win more than everybody else, right, Nico?
Yeah, that's exactly the way that it is, and once again, it is kind of the wave of the new athletes and where we are at this particular point. And once again, I can't blame Caleb or his dad, Carl, for trying to take advantage of this situation in the best way that they can. But this is just kind of where we are as far as where we're looking at, as far as where pro sports are actually headed. So, I mean, look, if I had the power that he has based on his ability, hell, I'd do the same thing. And I know you guys may say you won't, but yes, you would.
You wouldn't,
yes,
Nico.
You
wouldn't. You're a team guy. I know you.
You're talking trash.
But I think the last thing, and I'll pose this question to you, Charlie, because it feels like we're ganging up on you from one side. But I guess the question is, do you think that this is actually bad for him as a player? Or if it's just his image, I think we all agree that none of that matters if he's good.
I don't think it helps him as a player. I think, like, having a helicopter parent and having weird PR, I don't think it helps him. I don't think it necessarily hurts him. But my whole thing is to, like, go out and ball. Like, we ball. Like, he could have literally just gone and thrown against air at the combine. And the entire, like, there wouldn't be this article about this. It's something that would take him, like, he would have been unbelievable at that.
In your defense, even though you don't want to defend yourself because you're pretending like you're not saying what you're saying, I will say this. Coming on the heels of the Russell conversation, I do think that he does not buy himself the benefit of the doubt in a locker room.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what my point about Russell is. If you ball, then it's no problem. But there is some benefit of the doubt that it may buy you a couple extra weeks with your teammates you or something.
You don't want a LeVar Ball situation. I don't like, no matter how talented you are, you don't always want to isolate yourself and make yourself feel different from a team. You don't want your dad speaking for you when you're a professional athlete. You don't want to go to these podiums and be like, why did your dad say this? Like, that's, it's just
weird.
I get you.
You don't want that, but you also don't want to get taken advantage of.
No, definitely
so,
not.
So, like, I feel like when you feel like that's your, when you feel like this is your one opportunity and you have something so precious you need to protect, you don't want to trust anybody else.
There has to be a middle ground between being taken advantage of and your dad going behind your back and saying, so you want equity in an NFL team.
Okay, you want to find the middle ground. I want to not get taken advantage of. I am fine with getting hated if that means that I'm much less likely to get taken advantage of. I think that's it.
Do quarterbacks really get taken advantage of? Like, he plays well. He's going to get $250 million guaranteed in 5 years.
That's a fair point. No, they don't really get taken advantage of.
Yes, they do. I mean, yes, they do.
Well, the pay.
I get that. The entire league system is taking advantage of players. Right, but like within the concept of this, like, it's not like if he's going to play well, he's going to get the biggest contract based on the contract before him, and no less. Not a maybe more. He'll reset the record for it.
Well, this is what you want. You want your parent to always protect you. And we're older now, and our parents will always do that. Think about Lamar Jackson's mom. She was operating as his agent. Why? Because he was her baby. She's going to take a vested interest in what he was doing, and she's going to make sure that he tried to get the best contract that he could. I'm not mad at Carl for trying to do the same thing. And then once again, good cop, bad cop.
Yeah.
Carl would be the bad cop. Caleb would be the good cop. And then once he gets up at the podium, you ask me questions about football. Don't ask me any damn questions about my dad.
The thing that I would always say about Lamar's mom in that situation is she had one client.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very different for agents. And it's a stark reality for agents in pro sports is that they, and I learned this, I loved my agents and I kept them the whole time. It was fine. But I learned this as I was in the league is they have more substantive and longer term relationships with front office league people. And those relationships are incredibly valuable. So if there are doors that Caleb wants to try, see if they're open, if this door is open, his agent's not going to do that. His agent's going to come back to him and say, oh, no, they don't do that. That ain't the way we do business. But his dad will be like, hey, let's find out. And I mean, that's how you change things, not necessarily for the better or the worse. I don't know how it's going to change things, but you got to have somebody come in there who is not comfortable with the status quo. Whereas an agent is like, all right, you're going to be my client for 10 years. Cool. I'm going to have 13 other clients, and then I'm going to be doing this job for 50 years. You know who I'm going to need to not piss off? This GM, who's also going to be doing this job for 50 years. And that's why you have your dad walk in there and say some wild like, hey, I want equity. It don't matter. I want equity. What are they going to say? No? All right, cool. I'm going to show up and take this money, but I want you to know that if equity was possible, let me get it.
Well, I'll leave you guys with this. Remember when Michael Jordan was making a deal with Nike? His mom stepped in and said, hey, listen, I want to make sure that my son got equity and not just sold shoes. And look at the conglomerate that he is and the businessman he is now. That's just the way the things are now going. Parents are now saying, I just don't want you to use my kid. I want my kid to be a part of something where not just his brand grows, but his pockets grow as well.
All right, Nico, I appreciate you. We're going to have you back later in the season when your beloved Denver Broncos are making a run at the AFC West title. I decide that you love them because you are still
caping. Fingers crossed.
You're still caping for Russ. All right, brother, thank you.
All right, appreciate it, guys.
All right, roses and thorns. Let's do it.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom. Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur. Barnstown, Kentucky. 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Swimsuit, check. Sunscreen, check. Phone charger, check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or in a carry-on. And the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Has Dominique been lately?
Bad or good?
Let's find out. This is Roses and Thorns.
All right, time for your favorite segment with my favorite person, Roses and Thorns, with my wife, Ashley. At some point, we're going to do some sort of Love is Blind recap conversation. I haven't been watching it, but I've seen a couple minutes, and I have thoughts. Ooh. But before that, I'm tired. I was up late last night writing a speech that I didn't really write. I was trying to.
Man, I was so proud of him. I actually texted him, good job being productive, before I fell asleep. Well,
you I got a good amount of it done. The problem is I don't know exactly what to say. So I'm giving a speech to the National Alliance for African American Athletes. They give out a National Athlete of the Year Award to high school kids, and all the high school kids come to D.C. It's, I don't know, about six of them, I think. Anyway, to come to D.C. to
six
be celebrated.
Kids, yeah. Total? Oh, okay. Yeah.
And then
oh, I thought
to be
it was
celebrated
a lot of
for
kids.
The Watkins Award. No, it's not that many kids.
Okay.
But and I'm going to be the keynote speaker, and I was thinking about what to tell them, and I'm having a hard time, so.
But it's like a larger event. It's not six kids there.
Oh, no.
Because I was like, well, I don't think you need to write a speech if it's just six kids. Nah, I think you can just kind of have a conversation.
No. I mean, I assume when you do it, like I've done a commencement speech before, and it's supposed to be, despite the fact that there's a lot of people there.
That was crazy.
I assume the speech is for the...
directed to...
Right, so like I was thinking about what am I going to tell these kids, and maybe I should just give a speech to everybody else because I don't know.
Well, I'm excited about this event. One, because it's black tie. And I
love
wouldn't, no, I wouldn't normally be excited
you do like
about,
dress up.
I do, well, lately though, do I dress up? I'm more of a pajama wearer.
By
I'm
lately, like, you mean like the last couple weeks?
No, I mean like the last like 4 months.
Okay, maybe the last 4 months you haven't wanted to dress up as much, but I don't think that you can say you don't like to dress up because
okay,
the last
fair,
4 months you
fair,
haven't liked to dress
fair.
Up. You
but
enjoy
listen,
dressing up.
Sometimes though, I don't like black tie because like long stuff and like high heels, that's not really my thing.
It's not, you
but
can't put as much personality
I feel like,
in that either.
Yeah, I feel like though, you can get away without wearing long dresses to black tie events more and more. And also, I'm excited about this one because it's like meant you have to, a sneaker ball, like you have to wear tennis shoes with it. So I get to be comfortable. So I'm excited about that. But also, I'm excited about hearing your speech. I have a question for you.
I got some sneakers. I've been sitting on a pair of sneakers for a long time that I haven't worn because I bought them for an event, and then the
what
event
do they
didn't
look
happen.
Like?
I mean the my Jordan 10s that
I don't
are
know what
leopard.
Look
so
like.
It's like the you know the classic white Jordans with the patent leather ring around them?
Oh yeah.
I got ones that are black
but it's
leopard print around it.
I think
I
those
like,
are women's, right?
Probably.
Probably.
A lot of my shoes are just like big women's shoes.
I like that for you.
But I haven't had a chance to wear them, and I feel like I should wear this one. So I put on my tuxedo. I have two tuxedos.
He has two tuxedos.
I mean, one is kind of purple, and I was like, I don't want to wear that because it's like, look at me. It's like a dark purple, so it's okay.
No, see, I have no problem wearing look at me.
I don't know. I mean, especially when
which
it's,
I know. I know. Well, I'm with him for
when it's
this.
At an event.
Yes.
Especially if we're together, we both can't be looking me
well,
dressed.
No.
We look like assholes if
I
we're both like
thought
looking
about,
me dressed.
what I was wearing for this, and I saw a dress that I thought about wearing that was like really pink and like what he would call a look at me. And I was like, you know what? No, I'm just gonna go and subtle and classy as this date. Okay, well, so but you're gonna wear a black tuxedo. Does it still fit you?
Yeah, that's the thing. The black tuxedo, I bought it for
Miss Lee in Georgetown.
I bought it for a Maryland event when I was still playing in the league.
And well, that doesn't fit him anymore, guys.
And I had muscles back then. And I do not fit that. I put it on last night, and I was like, ooh.
So you're gonna go with look at me? Look at me.
It's not. It's not.
Do you have time to go buy a new tuxedo and get it tailored? No.
The tailor part is the hard part.
Miss Lee is so fast.
We're not doing commercials for Miss Lee.
No, I'm not. I'm just being serious. Well, take it to Miss Lee. She's so fast. Anyway. But she's not for everybody. You got to act like you got somewhere to go.
She does make everybody cost the same price. She calls everybody baby like she likes you, but yeah. Anyway.
I mean, it does cost the same price. And I'll be like, hold up. You just told me like 4 days, but you told her go for a walk and come right back. And it costs the same thing. So you can go and don't pay an upcharge for it. I love her. She's the best tailor. Okay. So I have a question, though. So you're speaking to high school kids. And it's something I thought about recently. We have these cards, just something I bought on Amazon, like talking points for, like to give prompts. Like we do Roses and Thorns. That's how we started this, Roses and Thorns at family dinner. But then otherwise, sometimes like we don't have meaningful conversation beyond that. Like the kids are just like want to hurry up and eat and get up. So I bought these little cards, I think called talking points for like family. And it has just different questions. I think we've gone through all of them. So talking points, I need you to come up with more cards. But one of them was like, what's one thing in life you regret? So asking the kids that, you know, I'm like, you've only been like 7 years. Like, but for us, it's like a bigger question, right? I can say for me, it was that I didn't like, I wasn't serious about a career right away. I was just like happy to have finished law school with a baby. Avery was 5 months when I graduated and passed the bar. And then I was like, okay, pause. I need a break. I want to like spend time with my baby because I hadn't spent time with her. And basically, other than maybe like 18 months combined since then, other than grad school. I went back to grad school again after that, but like I've been spending time with my babies. And I think had I had like a career to start, I would have had something to come back to more easily and more confidence to come back to that. So that was the regret I gave the kids. So my question for you is not what is your regret, but it is like we're on talking points right now. Maybe this will help with your speech writing. What would you want to have told if someone in your position had talked to you when you were in college? What would you have said to them, or what would you want to tell your high school self now, looking back at the age of 40?
Find a good woman named Ashley, and everything else will fall into place.
I mean, I'm not going to dispute it, but maybe, okay, tell them Ashley, because it's just not that common a name for like 18-year-olds right now. So like you want to tell them Ashley a different name. Now. I don't know. We can look into that.
Aaliyah?
I don't know. I feel like it might be more
like when she died,
Kennedy.
She had to be a Kennedy be popping right now.
We have a goddaughter named Kennedy.
I love
so
Kennedy. She was balling in her dance competition, her and Kendall.
I know. But no, really, like.
And you ball when you dance? I don't know. She was getting it.
She was getting it. Okay, for real.
I think
that one was serious, FYI.
That was the trouble I had with writing my speech last night. And I wrote a couple different like outlines of speeches, and I realized that the advice that I was giving or the guidance that I was giving was contradictory and it, like, had conflict, because there's no like one right way to do things, and there's no one wrong way to do things. There are different times when you need to take different parts of advice. And I think what I finally landed on and where the speech was headed when I gave up and went to bed was that the
around 12:03, because he texted me, "You up?" Oh, I saw that this morning.
The thing that I finally landed on was that I feel like the most. And maybe I shouldn't tell you. I should let you be surprised.
I kind of want to be surprised, but no, go ahead.
Well, I mean, it's not fully refined yet, but it seems like the decisions that we agonize over the most are the least relevant, and the ones that are the obvious right answers are the most consequential. So I think the advice that I would give them is that you make your answer or you make your decisions right. And if you are like agonizing over two very similar paths, or like the pros and cons are so hard that you can't figure out which way to go, that you pick up a path, and with conviction, you make that decision right and you can't go back. And it's kind of about not having regrets and understanding that You are in
control. I have a regret, okay? I have a regret.
Oh, no, it's like,
no, I'm happy with the way. I wouldn't change it, honestly. But anyway, I felt attacked by that because I just said.
It's not attacked
because
by
I
you.
Did just share a regret. I was very vulnerable.
The thing that I was having
and
trouble
then
with.
And he says you shouldn't have regrets. Like, no, I feel attacked.
I'm not saying that you shouldn't have regrets.
Justifiably.
Because you don't. But anyway, the point that I was making was when I was thinking, like, maybe I give him a speech about working hard and not giving up. I'm like, actually, sometimes it's okay to quit. Like, sometimes you do need to move on from something or get away from something that wasn't working. I can think of several things in my life that I held on for too long. And I think that maybe that's the advice. It's like when you are convicted about something or you're uncomfortable with how someone's treating you or how something's happening, then you should move on. But also, there have been plenty of times when people were assholes and I was like, no, you got to stick it out. So like, I just felt like such a fraud telling them, giving them like blanket advice that is not for a world that is not going to accept blanket advice. So
I gave him like what was a really great, and he said, oh yeah, that's good. And obviously he didn't think so. He was like, what should my speech be? I was like, I got it. I was cooking dinner. I was like, it should be like, don't make it like, pretend you're going into the cliches. Like, oh, you've learned these and these and like, yeah. All these things you learn from playing sports. I've never played a sport beyond like CYO basketball when I was the MVP of the B team. Let's not forget. But like, I didn't really learn big lessons there, right? Except for like, you can be a star.
Big fish, small pond.
Because I was the MVP, which I guess is a lesson. But I mean, we already knew that, right? And so I have no idea. So like, I am a fraud trying to give him this outline of speech. But I'm like, you know, like the lessons you learn and how like, you know, make it seem like, oh, and you've got this and like teamwork and whatever other the right. things you learn are hard work, whatever. But how like they're actually really important, like. Beyond and like not, oh, you're not going to make it in the next level. Maybe you will. Hopefully you will. Like keep trying. But if not, the lessons that you're learning as you continue to keep trying are still going to be useful in other contexts. Like
that's
after.
Great.
And yeah, he told me it was good and he was going to go with that. And look, that is not what he did.
That's good.
But that's okay.
That.
My speech was really good. Maybe I'll have to stand up and give some of it for you. You know what I saw? A friend of mine who I'm friends posted, like he didn't make it, but posted a little clip on Instagram, and it's like a popular TikTok like sound, and it's like I can't remember what it is though, but right now as I'm saying it, but the idea was like it was a guy sitting there like, what, like really, saying, you know, when you spent like basically all your childhood, all of high school and all of college playing a sport, and then on a Tuesday in May it just suddenly ends, you know, like, and that's the case for a lot of athletes, like how do you think you would feel differently about, like, do you think you'd even still like this job? Because I know a lot of people, like, you don't have to be a sports analyst, you didn't have to make it professionally, right? Like, and so for you, I guess that would be different, because on a Tuesday in May it might end, but then you would use it every day, your knowledge about football. But like, what do you think that experience is like, or how do you think felt differently about your sports career if, like, yes, like it took you through college and you played, but like then that was like literally was entirely over on your last game of your senior, whatever bowl game you played in your senior year?
We didn't play in a bowl game my senior year. We sucked.
Ooh, sorry, I didn't know. Yeah, sorry. Go Terps.
I get it. Yeah, I don't know how it's hard for me to project how differently I would feel. I think the whatever relationship that I have with football now is always already kind of fluctuated, and I think it's like it's the way of things. But you,
I was gonna try to find the sale, but anyway, what did you go ahead?
You mentioned that a friend posted this, and you said he, which reminded me of your favorite show right now, Love Is Blind, and I haven't been watching it, but I've been in and out. Of Love Is Blind, and I do know that fake Christian McCaffrey is dating fake Megan Fox, and
I feel like that's giving, his name's Johnny. I feel like that's giving Johnny too much credit. Don't people say, I don't know what Christian McCaffrey looks like, but don't people say he's attractive?
And people also say Megan Fox is attractive. I thought that this was accurate. They are both just as close to their doppelgangers as the other.
I feel like you could say fake Tyson Beckford for all that. Anyway, I'm joking.
They don't look that much alike.
Yeah.
Of Tyson Beckford, what's AD doing? How's she doing?
I don't get how that's just because she's black.
I just finding a way to talk about AD.
AD is holding on to things with Clay, but Clay seems like he is like, you know, like he's expressing very clearly his doubts about his being mature enough for marriage, which then a question could be, why'd you go on Love Is Blind? But nice. I guess at some point, like as something gets closer, like you said, when you talked earlier about going into things with conviction, like guys, I know he loves me, but I also know that he's the type of person that went into something with conviction. Like when we got ain't going married, nowhere. Like,
this ain't gonna fail.
No. But when we got married too, it's like, he's like, I made it. And he tells me that. And like, it's his closest he can be to romantic. He's like, I made a decision and I'm sticking with it. Like,
a good damn decision.
So I feel like as he's getting closer to having to make the final decision, I guess it is fair for him to be like, maybe I'm not as convicted to this as I should be, but it also is like, well, why'd you come on this show? But AD's doing okay. But the one who I want to talk about, let's get back to what you said, Chelsea and Johnny.
Yeah.
Chelsea and Jimmy. They were
just a random generic white name,
were
Johnny.
It felt like
Chelsea,
yes,
and Jimmy.
Because his dad's name is James and he is a junior, I bet.
Okay, Chelsea and Jimmy,
they met each other's families. Well, she met his family and his best friends, and like they were all lovey-dovey and perfect. And then one day, poor Jimmy just goes out on the balcony to talk to her, and she just starts going off about like expressing like stress about the fact that he had gone out the night before, even in her admitting it was like no more than an hour.
For people who are like me who don't watch this show, we talked about this last week. And to be clear, Jimmy and Chelsea are the ones where Jimmy had two women that he was interested in. One of them named Chelsea.
But so did Chelsea. Chelsea had another
but
guy.
But I think that doesn't, that's, she was, I'm that's just not telling super you that. Relevant. But I think Chelsea.
She might have a backup plan too.
Chelsea was the one who said she looked like Megan Fox. And she doesn't. And the woman that Jimmy did not choose was probably the most attractive woman on the show. Right. Yes. So back to this, they're on the porch. And that I just think that matters because the insecurity that
yes.
is.
So they're on the porch. Exactly. They're on the porch. And he had gone out the night before with some of his frat brothers, because they're back home now in North Carolina. And he had gone out the night before with some of his frat brothers, allegedly eight of them and two of their girlfriends. So mostly guys. And she said that people told her that people, friends of theirs who had been in the pods with them, told her that he wouldn't have recognized because they were women, so he had never seen the women, told her that they saw him out without her. And she was fine. She told him to go out without her the night before. But once she said, my friend saw you out without me, and it embarrassed me, basically, that you were out without me when you should be worrying about marrying me, then she was all upset about it. And she said they saw you out with, I think her name is Jess, the other girl, the pretty one, which, like, honestly, they might not have said that part. But either way, they saw him out with another girl from the pods. And so that's what she's all upset. But the thing, like her arguing style, like, and I was like, do I do this sometimes? Like, do I, like, and it was really making me like question, like where she was like taking a small thing, then getting really whiny about it, and then making him feel bad about something he shouldn't even feel bad about. And he was going with it until finally he said no. Like, and he stopped going with it. And I was proud of him for that, because her second issue was just that generally he has these two female best friends who he's always told her about and whom she's met, honestly, and claimed that she liked. And so first I'm like, screw Chelsea. And honestly, I still am like, y'all probably shouldn't be together. But then he comes inside and she, which you'd never heard before, she calls him out on the fact that apparently off camera, he had admitted that he'd had sex with one of the two female best friends. Yeah. And also it became apparent that she was drunk. And I was like, well,
so
I've been drunk before.
There's two things in here that I think are interesting. One is like the whole going out part. And the second one is the best friends of... I wasn't going to say of the opposite sex, but best friends, I mean, because it could be the same for a gay relationship, but your best friends are someone that you've had sexual relationship with in the past, which is different than
just having friends of someone who, the sex that you're interested in.
Right.
Romantically. Yes. And so then I was like, ooh, but Chelsea might got a point though. What if my best guy friend whose post I just said was somebody that I used to date, but like I maintain a friendship with, would you be okay with that?
I'd like to say yes, but I don't think so. I mean, I don't think. And I guess it depends.
I could say no for sure.
It depends on the type of relationship too. It's like if you're going out with them and like going to bars and clubs and hanging out, like if you see them every now and then and like whatever, it's fine. I'm not gonna throw a fit about it. Oh yeah, we are still friends and it's fine. I still follow them on social media and we exchange a text message every now and then. cool.
But not going to the bar.
Like, we going to bars
texting
together?
Texting all day.
Oh, yeah. And, like, your friends
like, they were, like, my two best friends.
Yeah. Which and, is like, his case. Presumably, like, your friends are who you go to talk to when you have issues. Now, that's when I really be like, all right, we got beef. Go talk to somebody who you ain't slept with, by all means. Knock yourself out. But going to tell somebody that you've had a sexual relationship with about all the things that I'm doing wrong, oh, nah, that ain't going to be able to work.
You know what's really funny? This is like, I'm related to Love is Blind, but you say that made me think of, like, obviously, yes, as a girl, like, you talk to your friends. And I think we've been together long enough and, like, are comfortable enough with each other that, like, we respect, like, privacy in our relationship to some mm-hmm. extent. Like, even if it's something I need to talk to someone about, I'm like, I'm not about to go tell my friend. And I haven't had anything like that recently.
I don't tell nobody my business.
But, well, except for sometimes, like, I'll be like, he talks to his friends. I'm like, don't you dare talk to your friends about me. But, like, would I call my friends and tell them something? Like, I mean, that's, like, not, like, level here. It's, like, level down here somewhere. Yes. But I'm like, ooh, but you, just because I, like, never, and it's so gendered, but I think of women as, like, duh, we talk to our friends about everything, but I don't think of men as being that way. And I think it's so healthy, and you guys should be that way.
We should,
but at one point when I realized that, I was like, oh, is he telling someone something bad about me? He can only say glowing things.
The only people that I tell actual things about you that I get annoyed about is your sister, because I know that it doesn't matter. And
she still loves me.
She still loves you. But I mean, yeah, I don't tell my friends about.
Oh, really?
Not really.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm insecure that way. I need everybody to think everything's perfect in my life. Maybe that's the advice I'll give the kids. Hey.
Yes, look at us coming full circle, coming up with things.
I don't tell them that. I'll give them some nice toxic masculinity.
No, you won't. You'll do what I said. You'll do what I said and be like, teamwork has taught you this. Don't worry. When you are working, when you are having a family, not just on your next team, will this be a valuable lesson? I have a speech, guys. I have a speech to give.
They're going to record my speech, and if it's good, I'll play a snippet of it here. If it's bad, we're going to pretend like it never happened. All right, you got a rose of the day so we can shut it down?
I do, that we have a leap day today. We have an extra day, I honestly woke up and totally forgot about.
Well, I mean, not today, the day that we're recording.
And then today, the day that you're actually listening, is the start of Women's History Month. Happy Women's History Month. I asked him this at the start of Black History Month, and if I'm being honest, I fast forward straight to Roses and Thorns when I listen, as some of y'all might want to consider doing too.
Why would you tell them?
I'm joking. JK, cut it out, guys.
As some of y'all might actually do is true, but encouraging everybody else to skip this shit, like,
take that part out, okay?
Keep
Gosh.
Buying them expensive ass sweaters. You need them to watch
out.
All of this.
Take it out. Take
that
it
sweater
out,
looks
it
really
out.
Expensive.
Listen,
I've never seen it before either.
I've worn it so many. Don't even get me. I can pull up pictures of me wearing it a lot last year. But so please. I asked him. I
last
can.
Year?
Honestly, 2 or 3 years ago, maybe 2 even. It's not new. I didn't say it wasn't expensive.
I can tell.
But I got it on a good sale, alpaca. Though. So I told him at the start of Black History Month that he needed to have black facts for off top. And I don't know whether or not he did.
I didn't.
Okay, for Women's History Month, will you have women's facts?
I mean, yeah, you're not going to listen anyway. Yes, every day I'm going to do.
Okay, because right. I was going to say, if not, I can come on the reverse.
Give us one in the show, please.
What should we call it? Down bottom.
Yeah, let's do top. It.
No, on bottom.
Yeah, that's perfect. Let's call it that. That's perfect. That's perfect for let's Women's History Month.
Let's do down bottom because I like that Rough Rider song called Down Bottom. Okay, my down bottom fact of the day, guys, is Aretha Franklin was the first woman inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Don't ask me the year because I don't know.
No one was going to ask you. There's no one here to ask you.
You're right.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Ashley. Thank you, Podville. Thank you, Charlie, Megan, Serafina, Brian, and Kevin. And Tez, we out.
This is the Dominique Foxworth Show.